Now we have Brother Tim Krupa. I'll get my stuff out of here, Brother Tim. It just fell down. They don't have a ledge out of here. And he'll talk to you about shining forth.
And so now, in 1991, not in the Apostle Paul's day, not in the days of Tyndale, not even in the days of Pastor Russell, but now, how do we write the Epistle of Christ? I think it's very clear from the preceding presentations that if a person has received God's Holy Spirit, that person today is the expression of the Epistle of Christ. It's abundantly clear that it's not written on paper. We're not talking about something that comes out in a magazine. We're not talking about a book. We are talking about behavior. We are talking about a message that is lived out. Something that is shown forth, something that's manifest. This is what a scientist might call an observable phenomenon. The Epistle of Christ. This is happening through the details of your daily life. How's it going? How is the epistle going out in 1991? If someone knew nothing of the Scriptures, and there are lots of those people around, what message would they receive by reading your life? Would they say, I know what a Christian is. A Christian is a person who is very well dressed. They're clean people. They shower, they shave, and they wear the latest. That's what a Christian is, I know. Or would they say, I know what a Christian is. A Christian is someone who can really argue with you. They can confound you. That's what a Christian is. Or are they going to say, a Christian? My neighbor's a Christian, and she's incredibly informed about what's going on in the neighborhood. That's what a Christian must be. What message would they get by dropping into our class, our ecclesia? So nice people. Nice group of people. They remind me of the group that I go bowling with. Nice people. Is that what we are? Nice people? Dedicated people. The most dedicated group I've ever seen, they're a lot like the Salvation Army. Dedicated people. You know, it's not a question of knowing what the epistle is supposed to say. We all know what the epistle is supposed to say. We know what it says in Galatians 5. We know what it says in 1 Corinthians 13. We know about kindness, meekness, gentleness. We know that the epistle of Christ even includes the teachings of Christ, not just the character. We know that the permission of evil affects the way we believe and the way we react to everything in this world. That doctrine affects us. The plan, that affects how we behave. No problem in knowing what the epistle is to contain. The problem's in the writing of it. The problem's in the application of it. So where in our daily lives is this epistle most clearly expressed? Is it in business meetings? Is that where we as a group express the epistle of Christ? You know, my grandfather was a butcher. And they tell me that many, many years ago they were having a business meeting and my grandfather was giving his opinion. And someone else from the other side of the hall jumped up and said, "Go home and pluck your chickens." Is that how we write the epistle of Christ when we get together? Are we writing this epistle each time we meet, whether it's business or studies? Are we writing it in meekness? Gentleness or patience? And without thinking of who, or are we writing it with arrogance and roughness and impatience? Are we writing this epistle with jealousy sometimes? Impatience? Unfriendliness? Partiality? Every expression that we make writes the epistle. Someone once said, "I'd rather see a sermon than hear one." That's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. He would rather see the epistle of Christ being written than read it or hear it. And another one of our noted American authors said, "Who you are and what you are speak so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying." Did you follow that? Who you are, what you are, speak so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. You can talk all day about righteousness, generosity, love. You can talk all day about service, faith, morality. But one act of any one of those things is worth 1,000 words. The epistle is not written by profession. It's written by simple acts like a cup of cold water. Mark 9:41. The world knows that talk is cheap. Everybody knows that talk is cheap. They say, except if you hire a lawyer, then that's something else. But the writing of this epistle, you pay dearly for it. So what we're talking about, most of all, I think in the application, is we need an honest epistle. Taking our cue from James, the third chapter, in 17 verse, where he says, the wisdom of God is first pure. This epistle must be first a genuine epistle. We don't want a fake epistle. We don't want a facade. We don't want an epistle that uses one translation on Sunday and a totally different one on Friday night. The epistle of Christ must first be genuine, honest. God is not interested in actors presenting his epistle. You know, he could get the best actors in the world. If he wanted actors, he could get them. He hasn't called you to be an actor. You know, Jesus used that word a lot in his preaching. The Greek word for actor is hypocrite. Jesus used that a lot. Matthew 6, whole string about the actors of his day. What did these actors do? He said, well, there were actors in the synagogues. He said, there were actors doing religious things on street corners. There were actors who prayed in public. There were actors who sacrificed. There were actors who fasted. In the 7th chapter of Matthew, he said, there were actors who went around taking out slivers out of people's eyes. They were actors. In the 15th chapter, in the 7th verse of Matthew, he said, the actors were the leaders of the church. Now, do you think that acting profession died out back in Jesus' day? Or do you think the actors are still around? And if they're still around, are they still in the same places, doing the same things? Are they still in the synagogues and the street corners? Are they still in the church? In that 15th chapter of Matthew, in verse 7, Jesus said, you hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. God is not interested in actors. In the culture of Jesus' day, in the Greek culture, the Greek theater, the actors usually hid behind masks. One of the purposes of the masks was to hide a small megaphone so that the voice was projected louder. God is not interested in us hiding behind masks and having our voices projected louder. That's not how we apply the epistle of Christ in our daily lives. Because it's not written with words. It's written from the heart. The opposite of hypocrisy is sincerity. Sincerity means to be without guile, without pretense. It means to be genuine. The apostle in many places talks about sincere love, which means there must be some sort of thing as insincere love. And when he wrote this book, the 2 Corinthians, this epistle, he said in chapter 1, verse 12, we have always treated everybody, especially you, with the reverence and sincerity that come from God. And by the grace of God, we have done this, this is the Jerusalem translation, without ulterior motives. Isn't that interesting? You can't write the epistle of Christ and have ulterior motives. You can't write the epistle of Christ and be dishonest. You know, they say, some people are very interested in communication. They've made it their life study. Communication, semantics, the nuances of language. And they have studied, amongst all things, lying. They've done great research on lying. One of the conclusions they've come to is that the ultimate test of lying is in the voice. They say, as adults, we hide when we tell a lie by distracting people. We use hand motions, facial expressions, to distract the fact that we're telling something that's not true. They say if you want to find out if a person is lying, call them on the telephone. And you can listen to if their voice is the same or if their voice changes. Do you know why mother could always tell when the little kid was lying? She could hear it in his voice, and the child hadn't learned the tricks of hiding it with the camouflage yet. And mom always knew when Junior was lying. Always. If we live a lie, despite our attempts at camouflage, the hearers will hear it. God is not interested in that kind of epistle. I heard a story once about a brother many years ago, and this brother didn't get a lot of opportunities to testify about the truth in his religion. But one day at work, someone asked him, "What church do you go to?" And he said, "Well," he said, "I go to the Bible Students Church, and we are very different than all other churches. We have the truth. And we live different than everybody else. And we are the real Christians." Well, his fellow worker looked at him in disbelief and said, "You know, you're not any different than anybody else here." And this fellow went on, this disbelieving co-worker went on and said, "You know, I've only met one Christian in my life." He says, "You wouldn't know him. His name was XYZ. And you know that XYZ was a brother in the same class as this first brother who was trying to tell the other one how different he was? You see the difference? XYZ lived a life that this worldly man could say it was the only Christian he'd ever met in his life. That's the epistle of Christ. In Galatians 2, we've already had reference to this word that's called dissembling in the King James Version. Dissembling. You act one way to one group and one way to another. It's pretending to act from one motive. That's what Peter was doing. He acted one way to the circumcision and another way to the non-circumcision. At that particular point in time, Peter was acting. The telling of half-truths, the telling of only half the story to lead somebody to another conclusion. It's dishonesty. That's not the kind of people that God wants to write His epistle. They say if you tell a half-truth, it's a whole lie. Other words that are related to this word of acting, this hypocrite, there's the negative of it, without acting. And it's usually translated in the King James, unfeigned. And the apostle in the King James is translated as unfeigned love. Multiple times the apostle uses it. In some respects, there's nothing sadder than a fake love. "Oh, I just loved your casserole," when you couldn't stand it. Why do you say something like that? Just say that you're happy the sister participated in bringing something. "I'm glad you brought something. It was really nice of you to bring something." That's true. Don't tell her you loved the casserole if you didn't. Be honest. It's the foundation. Honesty is the foundation of writing the epistle of Christ. It must be genuine. It must be consistent. It must be pure. So step one, I'm suggesting, in the practical application is no acting, please. God wants a genuine. You say, well, there's a problem with that. I'm not perfect. God didn't ask for perfection. That's why we were given these examples from history, from the scriptures, from the Apostle Paul. None of those people were perfect. But their lives, despite the humanity, there were portions that shone out clear as crystal the character of Christ. Portions would shine out through the cracks in the humanity. And in this imperfect world, you don't have to be perfect to be different. You just have to let a little bit of Christ's character show. And you will be outstanding. It was already quoted from Acts, the 4th chapter, that Peter and John, they perceived them to be ignorant and unlearned men. But when they saw their behavior, and they heard the gracious words, the graciousness of them, they perceived that they had been with Jesus. Now the second suggestion, and I only have two to make it easily applicable. First one is, be genuine. Be honest. Don't be an actor. The second one is, I have a suggestion where to start this. And I think that if you start at this point, all the others take care of themselves. But if you start somewhere else, I think you might miss this one. Practical application suggestion number two is, let the epistle of Christ begin at home. Let it begin with your spouse. We'll get to those who don't have a spouse in just a second. Start at home. Don't start on the street corner. Don't start where there's a big audience. And if you don't have a spouse, start with the closest relative you have or the one you live with, whether it's your sister or your mother or your daughter. Start at home. This is based on the principle in Matthew 6 that says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to receive their praise. Practically speaking, if you're one person at home and you're another person when you're in the class, you're acting. If you're Brother Wonderful at the meetings, if you're Sister Lovely at the testimony meeting, but at home you're snapping, you're condescending, you're impatient, then you're just acting at the meetings. I suspect that who you really are, who I really am, is who I am at home. I think there's less acting, there's less facades, there's less masks, there's less megaphones at home. You want to know who I really am? Catch me before I shaved. Catch me in my pajamas. Let the gentleness of the epistle of Christ begin when dinner's late, or when the person who's supposed to eat it is late. Both ways. Patience. If you can be patient at home, The supermarket patience will come easily. Devotions? Let the epistle of Christ be written in our devotions at home first. In our prayers at home first. Don't worry about prayers in restaurants. Read Matthew 6 regarding prayers in restaurants. The epistle of Christ needs to be written in your entire home life. Children, write the epistle to your parents. Parents, write it to your children. Husbands, write the epistle first to your wife. And vice versa. Those are my two suggestions. Brethren, you are known and read of all men. Be genuine. Make honest mistakes. There's no problem with mistakes. Make honest mistakes. And if you are faithful in these little things, you will receive an abundant entrance into the heavenly kingdom.
So, how's it going? Thank you, Brother Tim, for tying up what we've discussed so far as to the epistle of Christ in our lives. We had it was a very interesting combination in this last section of the example of the honesty and the sincerity and the abundance of zeal of the Apostle Paul, and then where does that all fit in with us? We'll close this session with hymn number 14, which is Brother Tim's selection. We'll sing all verses. We'll rise on the last verse. Brother Tim will dismiss this session with a word of prayer, and then again, brethren, we'd like you to be seated briefly for a few brief announcements. Hymn number 14, we'll sing all verses and rise on the last verse.
Thank you.
most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your many blessings. We're most grateful for the gift of your Son and for the hope of the high calling. We pray for more of your Holy Spirit, dear Father, that it might fill us and energize us, that we might have greater wisdom and greater zeal to be more accurate epistles of Christ. This is the greatest desire of our hearts, and we pray for your Spirit that you might guide us and direct us, that we might do this more effectively. We're mindful of our brethren scattered the world over, those who have the same desire as we. We ask that you would be with them, especially those who do not have the privileges that we have. We thank you for our blessings, and we pray for your continuing presence with us. In Jesus' name, amen.